You're listening to Dennis Stuckey, live from the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island on 1380 WPHM.
Well, isn't that flashy? They got me a nice special open to be up here on the broadcast from the Grand Hotel. It's the 94th Bell's Beer Bayview Mackinac race going on, and that's, of course, why we're here. Paul Miller broadcasting this morning, and I hung out on his show, so Paul's going to hang out on my show. I don't know if I'll be able to keep him for the whole show because I know the pink pony is out there, and it's calling out to his name.
A lot of distractions on Mackinac Island.
There was a Bill Gilmer sighting on the island last night. I invited Bill to come by today. I don't know if he's A, going to remember that I invited him, or B, have the time to do it, because for the last 40 years, Bill has been at the other end of things while Paul and I have been at the island taunting him about what the great time we're having, and he's going, I want to go, and it took retirement before Bill could finally get up to the island.
But he made it priority one. He showed up here this year.
He did. He retired in July, and he booked in October to be here at the island for the race this year. Well, it hasn't been much of a race in terms of finishes. Only 13 boats have crossed the finish line, and here with us is a gentleman who's probably glad he's chairing the race this year instead of racing in it, and that's Gary Shoemaker, the race chairman from Bayview Yacht Club. And Gary, thanks for doing this, and how have you been doing with all your boats still out on the water?
Well, thanks, Dennis. We've been watching them diligently. We've been having a lot of fun. It's like watching a video game. The Yellow Brick Tracker is just amazing that we have such great information at our fingertips. And we were speaking with some of the race committee earlier today, and Frank McBride, if you may remember, used to do the flyovers on the fleet. And then post-Frank McBride, but pre-Yellow Brick, we just wouldn't know where they were. And so we would have to have the race committee staffed all the time, and we'd be sitting here for 48 hours not wondering where they were. So this has been really a great technology improvement for us to be able to know. And all the people at home, the spectators, the family, they get to know where their loved ones are and know that they're safe.
Yeah, it's one less thing that we have to pack, because we used to pack binoculars, and we would sit and look out the windows at the old finish line, looking on the horizon to see if we could spot any sails. And this is much nicer. It's tough that they're not finishing, but it makes it a little bit easier when you can kind of see where they are and then maybe kind of guess at when you think boats might start arriving. Obviously, the Cove Island course has been doing a lot better than the poor guy sailing the shore course this year.
Well, actually, I'm going to disagree with that, Dennis, because there's a pack of 50 boats that are 75 miles out still. And the big boats came in, and they were about 24 hours behind schedule. And yet, they got this pack that's way back there. We've got some shore boats that are 25 miles out. We're going to start seeing them probably before midnight. Everybody's got wind. There's a couple holes on the lake, but everybody's got wind now. And it's just going to pick up through the night. So we expect them to make a mad dash for the finish line.
So a slow start, but maybe a fast finish.
Yeah, maybe a fast finish. And so we've been preparing our race committee crews, the harbor, the inspection, and the finish line. They've been on skeleton crews up until now, but now we're going into a full court press mode.
You've had a lot of decisions to make this year, starting on Saturday with decisions of, okay, when is enough enough? When do we have to cut this off and think about maybe finishing the starts on Sunday, because we might run out of light out here, to what time should we start the party here on the island?
Right, and I tell you, the principal race officer just did a masterful job, Brian Keith, in getting off those starts. If it was any other event, an event that you'd run over a weekend, if it was a nude regatta or the Bayview One Design Regatta, we wouldn't have started a single boat on Saturday. We'd have gone back to the yacht club and had a few beers and called it a day. But because we knew if we didn't get them started by dark, that we were going to have to take them back into shore, and there was no place to dock. We would have to come back out the next day. It was going to be a mess. So Brian just did a masterful job of getting them off and running.
What really are your options there? I mean, would you consider maybe doubling up the starts? But then that, if they're not moving, that just clogs up the front of the line.
Well, we went through a series of scenarios, and that was one of the thoughts, was to double up the starts. And we could do that, change the sailing instructions on the water. However, they weren't clearing the line, like you said. So if we put more boats in there, they just weren't going to clear the line. And we felt there was a safety issue that boats might collide because they would lose their steerage. The most viable option that we saw was to go to a 5-minute interval instead of a 10-minute interval. And that would have saved us time, but we turned out we didn't have to do that.
31 boats have had to drop out. Nothing we hope that was serious for anybody. It was just maybe fatigue, and they realized in the conditions they weren't going to get here in any amount of decent time.
Well, that's right. And for some people, this is their vacation, and they had rooms on the island, and they wanted to be able to use them. And for other people, the hardcore racers, they're going to take it right to the end. And some people ran out of food. Some people ran out of water. They weren't prepared to be out there this long. I mean, even think about the big boats. The boat that finished in 21 hours last year didn't finish this year. And so it's been a challenging year for the competitors, but these guys are tough.
Yeah, I went through it. The time that WinQuest finished today would have been the 163rd boat across the line in last year's race. So we went from having maybe the fastest race in the history last year to one of the slower ones.
Yeah, definitely one of the slower ones. And but like I said, you roll the dice and move your mice. That's
we were talking about the finish and what a great job the crew of Wizard did. They didn't catch WinQuest, but they finished close enough to them that they ended up passing them in a lapsed time.
That's right. I think they corrected over them by about 4 hours.
Yeah.
And it now looks like that Wizard's going to win the class. Abracadabra has been, I think last check they were 18 miles out, and they had been projected as the winner, but they just can't get here in time. But right now they're projected as second, and I think Wizard's going to win.
Yeah, and that's a great job by them, considering the conditions and how everybody was struggling to get here. We sit here going, oh, the race is bad. But if it's bad for everybody, then they're still racing, and
That's right. It's a level playing field. And what you can't imagine goes on in these boats is all the sail changes. Especially when you have a 75 or an 85-foot boat, the sails are enormous. They weigh hundreds of pounds, and every little puff of wind could change what sail you need to have up. So the crews, even though it's slow going, it's a tremendous amount of work for them.
I saw that details got in just before 4 o'clock, and I believe that's the boat that Larry Bell is on.
That is the boat that Larry Bell is on.
And, have you seen him yet?
No, we're going down to the harbor now. The principal race officer and I were up on the cupola, which is kind of like the luxury box view at a stadium, and we could see the boats coming in and finishing. It was really kind of nice. But we think that they're going to get a second in their class. There's one boat that could still get them that's out there a ways. And so I'm going to go down and see Lance and see Larry. And I know Shannon's been looking for him.
I heard a rumor that he was sending out texts on Saturday saying, come on, get our class started.
He was looking for wind.
That's right.
He's a great guy, and we can't say enough about what Bell's Beer means to the race and has for about a decade now.
Oh, that's right, and Bell's Beer has been just a great partner for us because it allows us to have the resources to make this the safest race that it can be, and the safety regulations and the equipment. And we talked about this at the press conference at Port Huron Yacht Club, that it takes a tremendous amount of effort to run an event that doesn't start or finish at your club. The if you were to walk down to the finish line trailer, it's like a media center. I mean, we've got computers and we got lights and we got all the infrastructure you have to move to be able to pull this event off and keep it a world-class event is a lot of work.
And that was one of the other things you guys had to figure out too last night, when to start manning the finish line, because it didn't make any sense to have people sit there all day Sunday when they'd just be looking at the water.
Well, and that's right, but we feel that you always have to be prepared, so we wanted all the equipment in place, everything set up, and a couple, you know, two people on instead of six or seven, and then save their energy, because we know when they come in, they're going to come in fast and furious.
Yeah, at some point we are going to have where they're not going to be able to shoot the guns off fast enough to announce the finishes. That happens every year. Last year it happened to happen on Sunday night into Monday morning. Right. It might be tonight into Tuesday morning for this race.
Right, and they're going to come in, and they're going to take a shower and shave, and we're going to be at the Bell's Beer Bayview tent party tent tomorrow afternoon to give out the awards.
Was there a point when you started thinking, do we want to do this on Tuesday at noon? Did you think about moving the party?
Yeah, the Grand Hotel has been a great partner for us, and they were very, very flexible, but they only have so much flexibility. And we only have the harbor till noon on Wednesday, and a lot of people may not know that we have to contract with the state of Michigan to take the harbor from Sunday noon to Wednesday noon, and people don't have rooms for Wednesday night. Most people are planning on getting off the island and going to work on Thursday. So we had a 2-hour latitude that we could have moved the party, but we decided that we're just going to stick with it the way it is, not create any confusion, and just go forward. So the race administrator, Melissa Wensler, she has been really actively working behind the scenes to make sure everything still comes off.
Yeah, you mentioned during the press conference that without her, you'd probably have to quit your job and get divorced because there isn't enough time in the day.
There is not enough time in the day, and I have run many, many events over the years, but this is a special one. And this takes a lot of care, and we want to make sure that we preserve this. 94 years. I mean, that's really, you don't see that in sailing events anymore. The Chicago Mackinac and the Bayview Mackinac are two of the oldest races in the world.
Thoughts on Albacore, 94 races, and this was their 72nd or 73rd, I believe.
I think it was their 73rd race for the boat, and the 72nd and the 53rd for the owner.
Wow.
It was a family boat. They bought the boat new.
That's amazing.
And 73 races. And we had at Bayview, one of our long-time Bayview member, but a long-time Mackinac participant, Lee Smith, we had his memorial at Bayview, and we realized he'd sailed 62 Mackinac races of the 93. So he had sailed two-thirds of the races that had happened.
That's just that's incredible dedication. You must really love it to
he
do
did.
It that many times.
He did, and his family continues on. His two sons and his two grandsons are sailing in the race.
And that's the thing about it. The sailors will get here, and they'll be grumbling because it was a slow race, but they'll all be back next year.
They will all be back next year, and we're really seeing a lot of new interest in the race, and I think that this has really really been a good year for us, and we're looking forward to coming back even stronger next year.
Now, I know you're getting close to old goat status, and you want to get back out there and race again, but if they asked, would you ever chair this race a second time?
If the club came to me and said, look, we really need you to do this, of course I would do it. But they don't need me to do it. I've got Bob Nutter coming behind me and Chris Clark coming behind him. We have got the deck stacked, and I will be helping them behind the scenes, like last year's chairman Tricia Smotherman, and the year before that Kyle Burleson, the year before that Peter Wensler. They have been helping me with this process. I'm going to help them going forward. We're just creating a continuity like we've never had before, which is really quite good.
All right, good stuff. Anything else that you want to pass along to us?
Well, I just want to thank the Bell family, Larry and Shannon. They have been incredible to Bayview Yacht Club, and we're really looking forward to throwing a big bash tomorrow with them at the VIP tent. And you know we've got Jerome with us, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I saw the picture.
The last 2 days since we've been here.
And for those on the radio, we have a great photo, a 2x3-foot photo of Jerome and one of us iconic poses, and we're going to put him outside the VIP tent where he always was every year protecting the tent, and we think that's going to be a photo op place tomorrow for sure.
That's great stuff.
We would always see him when we came up here, you know, long about Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, certainly on Monday he'd be wandering around up here, and he just loved being around this race.
Well, there are some people that thought there were four or five of them because
yeah, every time you turn around
there was Jerome and you needed something and he was right there to have it for you, whether he was putting a Hummer in your hand or he was telling you couldn't come into the VIP tent.
Great stuff, and we miss him already, and he will be missed, I'm sure, at Bayview by everyone.
Yeah, he is missed greatly, but he lives on in legend for sure.
Outstanding. And great job stopping the bombing of the lake.
Paul, was that you that I broke the story on your show on Friday?
You did. Oh, no, that was I think that was, that might have been Dennis, actually, or Caleb, but what a nutty year this has been. I mean, honestly, you've had so many obstacles thrown your way. I don't remember a Mackinac race that's had this many weird side stories.
Well, the two big stories from Friday, of course, were the unfortunate woman who was found in the river,
right.
and the Air Force, and it was legit. It came from the top. It was legit that they were going to do a bombing exercise, dropping Volkswagens on the fleet on Monday afternoon. And when I went to bed on Thursday night, I had filled out my to-do list for Friday, and neither of those things, bombs and bodies,
no.
were not on my to-do list.
Those aren't there at all. How'd you get that stopped, by the way?
Well, through the efforts of Candace Miller, and I've known Candace for a long time. We grew up together in the north end of Lake St. Clair, and I called her first, and she said, well, I'm not sure that could be true, and she checked it out, and it was, and I can't wait to find out the pathway that she went, but I know it involved politicians and military secretaries. So she called me at 9:30 on Monday night to say that it's been called, not Monday night, excuse me, Friday night to say it's been called off.
That's pretty quick.
And then I said, I owe you big. And she said, don't worry about it. You know, it was the right thing to do.
She is a champion of this event.
Yes, yes, she is. And you know, her job now is she's... her new day job, since she's not a U.S. Congresswoman anymore, she is the drain commissioner for Public Works Commissioner for mm-hmm. Macomb County.
Yeah, and she loves it.
And she came in just in time to fix that problem in Fraser. I mean,
yeah.
think about the
yeah.
timing of that.
Right, exactly.
And we think a lot of her, and she's a great friend of Bayview and a great friend of the Mackinac Race.
All right, Gary, thank you for doing this, and good luck with the rest of it.
Thanks, Dennis. Thanks,
it's,
Paul.
It's all downhill from here.
I appreciate it.
All right, there's Gary Shoemaker from Bayview Yacht Club. He is the chairman of this year's Bell's Beer Bayview Mackinac Race. Take a quick break here, and then we're back with more of the Dennis Stuckey Show from Mackinac Island on WBHM.